Jaguars Post Game is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah & Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by EverBank. Jaguars Post Game starts right now.
Jags win at 30-10, the final score over the Indianapolis Colts, improving to a record of 8-4. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor coming up. Let's go outside the Jags locker room. The first word with head coach Doug Marone. Here's Jeff Lagerman.
All right, thank you, J.P. Doug, congratulations. You get the 8 wins and also close out your third quarter in strong fashion.
Well, I know, you know, that's what we talked to the team about. You know, it's been tough. You know, we've been on the road the last 2 weeks, and coming back home was great. The crowd was awesome. You know, they're a big part of this thing, and it's really congratulations to everyone. So, you know, we've finished out the quarter 3-1, and now we're getting ready to get ourselves into this fourth quarter. And, you know, like I told the team, you know, to gain a lot of respect, you have to, you know, you're going to have to win games in December.
Offensively for you guys, not the same outputs you had last meeting against the Colts, but boy, an impressive result, 30 points scored, in the 400s of yards of production. Your quarterback, I thought, played an exceptional game against the Colts once again.
I do. I think obviously Blake played exceptionally well. We needed that. You know, obviously people have been stacking the box, and we've got to do obviously a better job, you know, saying in the run game. And it starts up front. I mean, I don't think putting any of that on the backs today. So, you know we've got to improve there. And then defensively, you know, they got after us a little bit. We gave up some yards in the running game. But, again, we kept the score down with 10. And, you know, we had the takeaways again, which is always important for what we're doing. And, you know, we had a big special teams play early in the game to kind of get ourselves going. So, you know, we're going to have to – we got some things to clean up. There's no doubt about it, but it's a whole lot easier cleaning it up, winning the quarter 3-1.
The thing that really was apparent last week in Arizona, he had some drops as an offense this week. Big, strong catches by many guys, Keelan Cole, Mercedes Lewis. I mean, across the board, excellent job of catching the ball today.
It was, and, you know, Marquise made a hell of a play, you know, on the one-handed one, and I think you're right. I think, you know, talking about it last week, people were like, hey, what's going on? Hey, we just need to make some plays, and, you know, today we were able to make those plays, and, you know, we're able to do that offensively, and we're able to move the ball and put up some points.
Defense, strong effort once again on the season, 45 sacks, and ended up getting what I think it was, what, the 26, 27 takeaway, something like that as a defense. I mean, impressive, and hold the Colts to 10 points.
They are, and you know, we were at, you know, without Telvin Smith in there, it was obviously a big part of what we do. So, you know, Blair stepped up, did a nice job. We did a good job in nickel, you know, with Puz being out there the whole time. Puz made some really big times, you know, one-on-one tackles, which, you know, is not as easy as it looks, you know, and difficult. So, you know, they did a good job of that. And defensively, you know, there's still things that we're working on and, you know, our focus and things of that nature, and make sure we have, you know, better gap integrity, you know, and not give up any of those runs that we did.
All right, Doug, congratulations and bologna sandwich maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, I got people in town, so I actually got – I have to go out to dinner first, but I do have that at home. But I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
All right, Doug.
There's Jeff Lagerman outside the Jags locker room with the Jags head coach, Doug Marone, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor along shortly. Got to keep you updated on this Tennessee-Houston game. The Titans lead 17-13. The Texans cannot get a fourth down playoff. They've had two penalties, two false starts on fourth down. It's now fourth and, what, 14?
14.
With a minute 36 to go, and it's come down to the last chance for the Houston Texans. We'll keep you posted on that one. Quick thought here, and then we'll get to logs in the locker room coming up. Offense did what they had to do today. Blake Bortles, efficient again against Indy.
I think he's more than efficient. I thought Blake was outstanding today. I think you heard Doug Marone say that. Look, it's an undermanned secondary, but he took advantage of it, right? I mean, look, we didn't tell the Colts who they could or couldn't play back there, and Blake was good. I thought the receivers, we talked about this at halftime, JP, caught just about everything thrown their way, made a lot of tough catches, had the one drop by D.D. Westbrook, but Marquise Lee really stepped up in the first half, helped him get going. The fake punt cut him loose, you know, got him on the board early. And once they were on the board, I think they felt like they could play downhill a little bit, and the Colts weren't much of a threat.
Fred, how about it?
Superman.
Well, appreciate it. I think, you know, we went back and we were looking at Indianapolis. They were, you know, really playing extremely hard. They were in a lot of close games. So, you know, we were really focused during this week. I thought the players did a good job coming back. We were on the road for two straight games, so it's always good to come back home. And, you know, the crowd was a big part of it, you know, and helping our team, you know, when we were on the field. I thought that, you know, obviously when the game started and we deferred, you know, we get to stop and, you know, then we go out there offensively and we start, you know, we move the ball and, you know, made a decision to go with the fake punt, you know, early in the game, just kind of get us going. you know, when it got us a big play, and the result was, you know, a touchdown on that drive, which I thought was important to get ourselves, you know, started fast. I thought that, you know, the difference offensively in what we've done, I really think the quarterback had an excellent game. He really played well. I thought our receivers made some really good, strong catches, you know, good hand catches, which is always good to see, you know, from Mercedes to Cole to Marquise's, you know, great catch. So, again, a little disappointed, obviously, you know, great with the win in the third quarter. You know, it was the focus this week, winning the third quarter, which was 3-1, getting ourselves ready to go into this fourth quarter, you know, of the season with an opportunity. And then, you know, from the defensive side, you know, again, we gave up a lot of yards rushing. We still got to, you know, work on that, making sure of the focus. But we're able to get the takeaways. You know, Calais, obviously, I was just told by Tad, you know, broke a record here, which is, you know, and it's, you know, I know individually his name's going to go on it, but, you know, you can't get those things unless those guys in the back end are covering. You know, they did an outstanding job there. I thought that Blair Brown stepped in, did a nice job for us. I thought that Puz did a nice job for us in nickel. I thought Puz made some really big-time plays out there, you know what I'm saying, and some of those one-on-one tackles, which aren't until you're out there trying to do it, it's not the easiest thing to do, but he came up big for us. And then pretty much that's it.
You mentioned the receivers, tough game last week. How much do you think they can build some confidence out of this game today?
Yeah, you know, we got some young guys. I mean, you know, the two young guys are out there, you know, Cole and Westbrook, you know, and Westbrook had some good catches. He, you know, he had the drop of one or two. I'm not sure right now off the top of my head. But I think those things, Ryan, really help. You know, just keep playing, keep going, keep trying to make plays. Thought the quarterback put the ball in some good spots today, you know what I'm saying, where they're able to catch it. So I think it's something that they definitely, you know, can build on and just keep going with.
Could you sense from the outset today that your team had a little bit more juice, a little bit more energy than last week?
I just think when we come – I just think that's when people say, like, home field, you know, advantage and stuff like that, and they come out there and the crowd's, you know, into it and ready to go, you know, that picks it up now. So – you know, I give a lot of credit to the fans that were out there, and then, you know, but make no mistake, this team has done a good job, you know, as far as bouncing back. You know, I don't know, I mean, I guess that's, for lack of a better term, you know, that's what they've done. They really came back, you know, after last week. They were really focused. We really had a good week of practice, you know, and really prepared ourselves to be in a good situation.
Doug, how much of the offensive game plan was predicated on the Colts between secondary versus trying to get Leonard Fournette going, and his injury too, also maybe being a little bit of a factor as well?
Going into it, we've got to be ready. We've got to show that we can throw the football, you know, obviously from some of the things that have gone on during the year. So, you know, I think probably a little bit of both, Gene, you know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as what was going in there, we thought we had some good matchups on the outside. We thought we were able to you know, do a good job, but, you know, it goes back to the same thing. You got to be able to protect. I thought we did a good job protecting the quarterback today. I thought we needed to do a better job running the football.
What does it mean to sweep a division opponent the way you guys have against the Colts?
You know, I just think about winning the division, you know, games, you know, from a year-to-year basis. You know, I don't – you know, things change so much in this league. It's hard, but, you know, obviously, make no mistake about it, it's right outside. You guys passed it by. I mean, you know, win a division. So, you know, it's important. We still got two more division games left out of the four that we have. So, you know, we're going to have to do a good job.
Doug, three fake punts this year and one in the preseason. What did you see today? And just talk about that decision to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I knew we had, you know, we've worked on it. You know, we work on things, and you guys know how I am. I always say, hey, listen, if we work on it, you know, you have to have the ability to call it. I thought it was, you know, I was going back and forth into the game. I was thinking to myself, you know, hey, listen, if we can get us to a 2-score, maybe a 3-score, you know, between, you know, strategically thinking about it, where it was going. And then, you know, when it came up and I was like, you know, if we don't get something going, it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be really tight. Again, being able to, you know, go to the defense and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Are you guys okay with it? You know, hey, coach, don't worry about it. Let's go, you know, and show that and have a defense. I think it makes it a little bit easier. I'm not going to lie to you because, you know, obviously if you look at my past, I haven't been that way.
Doug, how important was it to come out of the half with the touchdown drive? And then what did you think of the celebration?
I didn't see the celebration, you know, so I can't comment on that. And that's, you know, I just, you know, as soon as we score, then I'm on to the next series and, you know, what we have to do. And so I didn't know about that. But I thought, you know, at halftime I told the team, hey, listen, there's two things that I need from this team. I need a better focus about them, and I need us to go and finish this game. So those are the two things that I asked the players for at halftime.
Could you talk a little bit about Blake's, particularly his proficiency a little bit on the fade throws, because that's been a problem for him most of his career.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gene. I think, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, I can't really comment on the past because I can't, I'm right now in the present. But I will say that he's been doing a really good job in practice with those balls and really put a lot of work into it. And I felt very good with him being able to throw those balls and being able to go over the top. So I'm just, you know, you sit up here and you watch a guy work and you watch him, you know, work his ass off, and it's happening in practice. And then, you know, it doesn't always occur during the game, and to have it occur during the game, you know, I think is great for both him and the receivers, because the receivers work extremely hard on that too.
Along that same.
Gene, come on.
Yeah, that's 50.
Of all the people. I'm sorry. Hold on. He has a question right here. I'll get you.
Yeah. You talked about it a little bit up front about your receivers and how they've kind of gained the confidence. In your experience as a head coach, whether it be on the pro side or on the college side, is there a certain timetable that you give these receivers a chance to make themselves known before you say, well, it's just not happening, or you feel like they've worked their way into it?
No, I think you got to gain a trust in practice. I think it's one of those things that, you know, you gain a trust in knowing exactly, you know, what you have to do. You gain the trust of the offense. I think that's a big thing. I know I spoke about it before. One of the responsibilities that we have as coaches, and especially myself as the head coach, is, you know, not to put anyone out on that field that we don't believe that can get the job done, or trust. So I think it comes down to more of that. Now, trust them to do the right thing. Trust them that they can make the play and things of that nature, and you go forward there.
Along the same lines that Gene was talking about with Blake, I mean, the fades and all that, but is there something that you saw this week in practice, he just was more accurate, more forthright, in more command, that you said, you know, this guy probably has got something going this week?
No, I mean, honestly, I've been watching him practice, and I knew it was just going to be, you know, I really felt that it was just a matter of time, whether I was right or wrong in that, you know, that – you know, you see the success in the practice, and you know sooner or later it's going to carry over, or you hope it does. You know, so I was happy to see that, but I did see a lot of that throughout the last couple of weeks in practice, and it's something that I think that he's worked extremely hard on.
You mentioned third quarter of the season over. What did you learn about your team over the last 4 weeks?
We got to make sure we have a better focus. You know, I really believe that. I told the team that, you know, there's things there, and you see, you know, when you give up, you know, yardage and things of that nature, and I don't mean to be Debbie Downer again, but, you know, just a high focus on every single play. I mean, just doing your job and not trying to cover or do something else, or maybe you've seen something that, you know, you think you have a tip on something that you haven't really told anyone about yet, you know, and reacting to that. So I always think that the teams that just go out there and play, you just play hard, you play your assignment, and you win your battles, you do well, you know. But if a lot of other things are going on, you know what I'm saying, and you miss anything or bust anything, then obviously things could be, you know, you could put yourself in a tough situation. You know, don't feel any pressure. Go out there and play and have some fun.
On paper, Jack Doyle seemed like a big challenge for you guys, but you guys were able to pretty much shut him down for most of the game. How does that speak to your defense, being able to hold him?
You know, I don't know how many actual opportunities, you know, because I think, you know, when the rush started coming a little bit, you know, he was back there a little bit more in the protection aspect of it. So I think he's a heck of a player. He was someone that we were extremely, you know, concerned about. I think, you know, I know that when we were a man, we were going to put Gibson on him. I think, you know, Gibson's one of those guys that's kind of getting lost a little bit in the type of year he's having. You know, he's really playing extremely well in that position. You know, it showed today. I told him last night, you know, after the team meeting, I grabbed Gippy. I said, hey, Gippy, look, I just want to tell you, I think, you know, I don't say this a lot, and, you know, it's one of the things that I try to work on. But I pulled him aside. I said, you know what, you're having a heck of a year now. You really are, and you got to continue to keep playing. And I told him that last night before the meeting. And then, you know, today he comes up and he makes the big play or has a big play. But he's been doing that all year. He's really been doing well.
Is a 30-10 win worth Double bologna, fried bologna?
No, I got, you know what's so funny is I got, you know, there's some people in town that I've worked with when I was at Syracuse University. One of my former teammates is here and a couple of other people. So my wife's got, she's got all the Christmas crap up, you know, like boxes are all through the house. So I gotta go out to dinner, but believe me, it's home. I was thinking about you guys last night. There was a little brown on the bologna, you know, because after a while it gets a little late, and I was like, shit, I'm going to eat it anyway. I don't care. Normally I fry it, but I was too damn hungry.
I can give you some restaurants that serve bologna.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. I'm just saying, so when I'm out, just don't give me shit about it tomorrow. I appreciate it. Oh, go ahead, Ryan. I thought he had a good week, you know, but I always get nervous about JP, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, making sure that he practices. He practices, sees the look. He's got to feel good and do that. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit, like I said before. And I told the team after the game, you know, a lot of times you don't get a chance, but there's an appreciation for those guys that get, you know, nicked up or rolled this or, you know, rolled an ankle here or there, and then they come back into the game. You know, it's part of the thing that kind of gets left out a lot. You know, and what you're doing, because, you know, you only have a certain amount of reps during the week that you're able to practice, and you want to practice those reps with the guys that are going to be out on the field on Sunday. So that's why we always say, hey, when someone comes in there and replaces someone, you know, especially when they haven't practiced during the week, you know, then they did a hell of a job getting themselves prepared, because it can get you in trouble quickly. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Losing season for the first time since 2010. Let's get into the Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Fred, number one, is this offense sustainable over the last month?
You know, I think with the opponents coming up, if they just go up.
How'd your receivers play today?
I thought they were awesome. You know, I thought they did a good job. We kind of talked about it all year with A-Rob and Hearns not being out there. You know, that's a lot of slack to be picked up. And I think, you know, Marquise has kind of led that group, being the veteran in that room, week in and week out, coming to play and playing as hard as he possibly can. And then DD and Keelan kind of getting their opportunities. You know, they've been incredible. You know, Keelan's kind of got a start or a shot, you know, from the beginning. And DD's really, this was what, his third game playing. So he's still, you know, kind of figuring it out. But I think they're both doing an unbelievable job.
That back corner throw in the end zone to Keelan, is that one of the best ones you've had?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of we had some options on the other side if they decided to play coverage, but, you know, they brought everybody, so that was our answer, was, you know, throw them a ball to the pylon and give him a chance to go up and make a play, and, you know, did good up front holding up, and he did a good job making a play.
The passing game's taken a lot of flack over the season, and especially last week. Was it nice to have this feeling moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think everybody understands that, you know, the identity kind of our team is we want to play good defense, run the football, and control the clock. And, you know, I think we've been put in a couple situations where we've had to throw the ball, and I think we've delivered. We've done some good things. You know, I think last week was kind of uncharacteristic of our passing game, so it felt good to be able to get back on track. You know, and really the whole thing from up front to the guys running routes to the backs and protections and checkdowns, you know, I thought it was a good day all around.
You guys haven't swept the Colts since 2011, before you got here. How good does it feel to finally have that roster back?
You know, anytime you get a chance to play a divisional opponent, it's a big game. You know, the Colts kind of, you know, been really good for a really long time and kind of controlled the AFC South, you know, I think historically. But, you know, to be able to go 2-0 against them, you know, in a season, that's a big deal. We want to win every divisional game we play, and that's kind of how you start doing it.
Does it get you a little bit amped up when you know the game plan is centering more on trying to throw the ball, and particularly against a defense like secondary?
Right.
Pretty depleted.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's exciting. You go through the week and you kind of, you see the plays that, you know, are being repped. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a little more passes here than usual. So, you know I get juiced up about it. I think the guys up front, you know, I think they enjoy making big plays and you know, whether it's pass game or the run game. And I think the receivers get excited for it. They get more opportunities to make plays and chances to do stuff down the field.
Did it feel a little bit, as far as the secondary is going, that like you were throwing against scout team a little bit, just the secondary,
right?
The rest of the
you know, I wouldn't say that. You know, I think anybody you play, you know, there's a reason they're in the NFL. There's a reason they're getting paid money to play football. And whether it's, you know, one or two or, you know, on down the list because of injuries or what have you, there's going to be good football players out there regardless. You know, obviously, the further down you go, the more advantage of them I think you can take. And we understood that and tried to do that as much as possible.
You see it this week in practice after the drops? Did you know going in that this would be a better result?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I know you know, they were fired up. I think a lot of guys, or not a lot of guys, some guys felt as though we left some plays out on the field last week in Arizona. You know, I think that the attitude and the mindset of this group is, you know, we're not going to let that happen again. So I think to be able to kind of overcome that adversity and not playing our best game last week and come out here and put on the showing that we did today, you know, just kind of speaks to the confidence and the ability to overcome adversity those guys do.
Blake, you've done it the whole season without Robinson. You've done it the last few games without Hearns. I asked Doug about the confidence level of your receivers. How much of that is you as well trying to get these guys to believe that they could be a big part of this passing game as well? How much is that you?
You know, I think a big part of it is them and their confidence. And, you know, I think understanding the system, sitting in here, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, going through meetings, understanding everything, being confident with what they're supposed to do, and then going out of practice and being confident and doing it and us repping it and being successful at it. And then in the games, you know, it's just me, you know, we're going to put the guys, Nate does a good job of putting guys in the right place, you know, for progression-wise, and I just go through it, and whoever's open is the first guy I throw it to. So I have all the confidence in the world that they'll make the play.
Like Doug said that this, he's impressed with this team's bounce-back ability. Is that something that you've noticed in your 4 years that, boy, this team has different leadership, different when you come back to practice on Wednesday. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think a big part of that is the culture that Doug's kind of created here. You know, kind of that with some of the guys we brought in, you know, Calais and some of these guys that have been outspoken leaders. I think that kind of gives us the ability to, you know, you don't have the mindset of here we go again or, you know, any of that. It's kind of that wasn't who we are. That's not how we play football. Let's forget about it, make the corrections, move on, and get back to doing what we do best.
How's that affected you and your preparation when you walk out there on Wednesday?
Yeah, I feel good every Wednesday going out there. You know, it's definitely a different feeling this year compared to years past. You know, we go out every Wednesday, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, go through the week, go through the plan, go through all the practice, and feel as though no matter who we're playing, we can win. And I think that confidence and that mindset carries over into Sunday. And when we don't win and we don't execute, it's a surprise and a letdown because that's, you know, we know what we can do and what we're capable of.
Like 300 yards passing today. Couple of runs to the one where you got lit up pretty good on the 5 yard line trying to get an extra yard or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
I know they talk to you all the time about getting down, but I guess what the competitive juices
were. Right, yeah. You know, that was kind of a funky one because I wasn't really expecting to get hit and got hit, but, you know, DBs are usually pretty small, so it doesn't hurt all that much.
Bounce right back up.
Yeah. They're not like me.
Blake, I guess I should congratulate you. You're the starting quarterback of an NFL team that's going to finish no less than 500. So, I mean, a big accomplishment. But when you look back, you know, we're going back to the preseason, and there was this question of, is he going to be the starting quarterback of this team? And now to where you are, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think you kind of just keep playing. You control what you can control. Every time you get an opportunity, you go out there, you play as hard as you can, and you try and be the best you can possibly be. I think, you know, that's a quarterback that's at any position. We've had competition battles all throughout the offense. And I think the guys that have prevailed and the guys that are out there playing, that's kind of what they've done. They've just kind of kept their head down, kept playing, doing everything they can. And, you know, the only guy or the only person that you have to impress or please is the guy that's coaching you because he's the one that's making the call on whether or not you play. So I think when you kind of get that, you know, all the clutter and everything out of your head of – you know, trying to prove people wrong or trying to prove people right, and you understand that there's very few guys that are all within this building that you have to please. Those are the ones that make the decision on whether or not you play or not. You know, and I enjoy getting the opportunity to come do it every day with this group of men. It's been awesome.
Like on that same note, first time that this team will be 500 or over 500 since 2010, what's that mean for the city of Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, we kind of talk about it all the time. You can kind of just feel the buzz and the energy of the city. You know, I think when the Jags are doing well in Jacksonville, I think it's good for the town. I think everybody kind of rallies around the team. And it's been cool to experience that. We haven't been able to do that, you know, or at least I haven't for the past 3 years since I've been here. So it's cool to feel that, feel, you know, the excitement of everybody, of all the fans. It's cool to be able to win and play in front of them and do well. But we got four games left, so you know, we talk about winning each quarter, so we got four more and a chance to go win 12 games, so that's kind of what our goal is now. And thanks.
What draft pick we're going to have, right? Yeah. You know, what draft pick, what slot will we get in, who will we be taking in the top, you know, six picks or so. So it's a good situation to be in.
Who will you get with pick 32?
Listen,
why not?
Oh,
until they're eliminated, why not think big?
Go for
right?
It.
I'm not making the prediction. I'm just saying.
Might as well think big.
Got every right to think as big as anybody else.
Well,
right
give
now.
Me some Powerball numbers when we
let's hear how it happened today. We get to the highlights from this ball game. The Jaguars defense got him off the field on the first drive, and then they kind of the offense for the Jags kind of bogged down. Look out, it's a fake.
Brad Nortman is going to fake it. He's going to throw it to a wide open O'Shaughnessy on a fake punt to the 30 of the Colts. He broke a tackle inside the 25-yard line. Brad Nortman on a fake punt threw it to tight end James O'Shaughnessy, and it's a first down all the way down to the 22-yard line of the Indianapolis Colts.
Huge play kept the drive alive for the Jaguars. They continued down the field. It ended up being an 11-play, 80-yard drive capped off by this touchdown, Bortles to Marquise Lee.
Blake dropped the throw. Look, now looks like he may throw it into the back of the end zone. That ball's caught for the touchdown, Marquise Lee. Bortles to Lee for the score, and Jacksonville strikes first.
Jags had a 7-0 lead at that point. Lambeau hit a 30-yard field goal, 10-0 Jaguars. Vinatieri from 27 yards out is good. It's 10-3. The Jags led it. Then a 12-play drive, 75 yards. Bortles to Keelan Cole, his first career touchdown.
All-out blitz. Blake fires to the right corner of the end zone. Leaping attempt by Keelan Cole. Caught, touchdown. In the right corner of the end zone. Bortles to Cole for the score.
The extra point, no good, a bad snap, and they couldn't get it off. So 16-3, Jaguars led it. The Colts moved down the field before halftime, but Jalen Ramsey ended the threat with a pick.
Brissett drops to throw. Fires to the middle of the field. Intercepted by Jalen Ramsey. To the 10, to the 15 of Jacksonville. Still on his feet is Jalen. Out past the 20-yard line. Jalen Ramsey turned him away. He picked it off and runs it back to the 25-yard line.
Halftime score was 16-3. Jaguars with the lead. Jags got the ball first, and they did something with it. 8 plays, 67 yards, in just over 4 minutes. Leonard Fournette from 5 yards away.
Inside handoff to Fournette. Leonard Fournette is going to walk into the end zone for a 5-yard touchdown. And the Jags have extended the lead over the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, Fournette in for the score. 2-point conversion good to Mercedes Lewis. 24-3, Jaguars led it. Jags defense was rolling, but a bust in the secondary. Brissett to Hilton, catch and run of 40 yards for a score for the Colts.
He drops the throw, looking to his right. Now back to the middle of the field. Now flag comes in. The ball's caught by T.Y. Hilton inside the 10, inside the 5. It's going to be a touchdown, but a flag was thrown in the secondary. It will be a touchdown for the Colts.
Touchdown stands. Flag was on the Jaguars, so 24-10 at that point. A little later, Jaguars defense getting it done again. Lambeau hit a field goal of 23 yards. Tashaun Gibson gets an interception, his fourth.
Brissett fires to the middle of the field. Picked off. That is intercepted by Tashaun Gibson, and the Jags get it back. Boy, that Jaguars secondary is absolutely tremendous. Tashaun broke on the ball, picked it off. And the Jags take over at their own 48-yard line.
Second takeaway of the day for the Jaguars. Lambeau hit a 39-yarder later, made it 30-10. That's how it happened today in the Jaguars' victory. They're now 8-4. The Tennessee Titans won today over the Texans. They're also 8-4, so the Titans currently in first place in the AFC South. When we return, the Everbank Stats Check. Also, Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game honors to come. Jags win by 20 at home over the Indianapolis Colts. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
As a business owner, nothing compares to the sense of pride you feel when unlocking your business first thing in the morning. In this moment, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. It doesn't matter if the business down the street has the same insurance you do. What matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery offer over $139 million in prizes. Oh, they're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Like Great Aunt Mimi, everyone you know named Tom, your nosy neighbors, your boss, your boss's boss. And with 14.5 million winning tickets, your gift can keep on giving. To the new guy, Stephen, or is it Stefan? Maggie from work, Maggie from Pilates, Maggie with a Y. Mr. Jones, no, the other one. Oh, you get the point. Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery. Oh, it's your ticket. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
At EverBank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. Jags win it 30-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. Jags now 8-4 with a victory. Let's get to the EverBank stats check for this one. The Jaguars rolling on offense today, and the defense stood up with a strong performance as well. Total yardage in favor of the Jaguars, 426-290. The Jags had 22 first downs to the Colts, 17. Jaguars were 9 of 15 on third down today, while Indy went only 5 of 15 on third. Rushing yardage, 141-96 in favor of the Colts. Frank Gore had a decent day. A couple other guys were involved in that, too, including the quarterback, Brissett. Passing yardage, 330-149 in favor of the Jaguars. Penalties, 6 for 55 for the Jags, 4 for 31 for the Colts. Two turnovers for the Indy offense, the Jags defense with those two takeaways. And time of possession, 33 minutes, 47 seconds in favor of the Jaguars today. And a dominant 20-point win over division rivals, never a bad thing there.
No, you know, and a lot of talk about, hey, you know, second time around is different. Sometimes it's not. We said that, you and I did, right? I mean, the countdown to kickoff, JP, I mean, sometimes it's not different. Sometimes you just match up really well with an opponent and you handle your business. And, Fred, I mean, 27-0 the first time, 30-10, the 20-point spread. Very similar games with the exception of that T.Y. Hilton touchdown.
Very similar game, but nothing similar about this team. This is a statement game for them. I mean, division. We hadn't seen this type of explosiveness from this Jaguars team in quite some time. And it's not a fluke. You look at it and you say, well, it was 10 sacks for the defense. They put up 27 points. They shut them out. Well, here you have it. You didn't have as many sacks, but you had a lot of pressure. The offense, they came to play as they did the first game. You know, but this particular game, they didn't have as much help from the defense. Well, maybe a little bit because of the turnovers. Mm-hmm. But to go out there and still put up 30 points, it's definitely not a fluke, man. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it a fluke, but I do think when you look back to the first time around, you had three different receivers. Right. I think it was Lee, Cole, and Hearns. Each had a reception of 45 yards or more. So the big plays right. have been there mm-hmm. against this team. Come out and do it next week, even without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor in that secondary out for the year. And I think everybody's going to sit up and take notice of this offense.
Nobody's going to care who's out there for the Seahawks.
Oh, I don't.
If you go out there and you throw up, you know, mega amount of points, period, point blank, the people in Duval just want to see a W. They don't care
just
if it's 3-0, 10 sticks. It doesn't matter. They just want to see a win, right?
EverBank stats check continues with Blake Bortles today. 309 yards, two touchdowns, nice. 119.8 rating for Blake. And, Fred, I mean – he put up another good one today.
Yeah, he had a good one. Norman was on his heels. 118.9 rating.
He did all right.
But Blake was very impressive, you know, just coming out, just opening the way they opened the game. I think 7 out of the 12 games they've scored on an opening drive. And thanks to Blake's performance, man, he's very accurate. He was throwing the ball in the pocket, throwing it in small windows as well. Definitely one of the better performances that I've seen him have. And I think he also tied with this performance today with those two touchdowns. Maybe he's one shy of most career touchdowns against an opponent. Mm. Yeah, I have that stat in here somewhere. So he's one shy.
Yeah, and the last five games or so now against the Colts, Blake has really, really played well against this franchise.
Absolutely.
Right. 12 career touchdowns versus the Colts, 13 against the Titans.
All right, well, hopefully you'll extend that Titans record out a little bit further, but we'll get to that, JP. As you said, Blake, with the 309 and the two touchdowns today, pretty flawless performance for him. Fournette chipped in with 20 carries, 57 yards, and a touchdown. He also helped out in the passing game today, caught three balls for 22 yards. Marquise Lee, we mentioned, 10 targets, caught seven of them for 86 yards. Some tough catches, too, in traffic. The leaping one-hander with the left hand was pretty special.
I think it was a statement game for him today because everybody was kind of on him. He dropped the ball late last week. He had a few of those and comes out. He gets hobbled a little bit early in the game and goes through Fred and comes through with a fantastic day.
Yeah, you want to see him bounce back again. You know, after battling the injury bug his first couple years, you know, the team, they saw what he brought to the table. They held on to him. And now he's been catapulted into the number one receiver role. And he's doing a good job. And he's doing it with young guys, you know, two rookie guys out there helping him. You know, he hadn't been flustered, and he's still bouncing back, making plays. That's what you want to see.
Those rookie guys got it done, too. Dede Westbrook continues to mature in his game on 9 targets today, caught 6 for 78 yards. And, of course, Keelan Cole, a spectacular catch on a fade ball. Remember when it was a rule Blake's not allowed to throw fades? Blake can't throw fade, right? He hit the touchdown on the fade. He hit the two-pointer on the other side on the fade. Not the first time this year that he's done that. Cole with the 3 grabs for 49. How about Paul Posluszny today? 14 tackles, 10 solos, had a sack and a half of his own today. I mean, there's an early look at some player of the game voting consideration for that guy. Calais Campbell with the sack. He sets the Jaguars single-season mark with that. You know, Unique Ngakoue is going to be coming for him. Malik Jackson had one. And Blair Brown split one of those sacks with Posluszny as well. So everybody chipping in.
Good day on the stat sheet today. Good game in the final score. 30-10, the Jags over the Colts. When we return, Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game honors. Jags win by 20 at home. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as makes me rest a little easier at night.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. In 1997, we became the first micro distillery in the state of Texas, and we're still making the same smooth stuff after all these years. We're still cooking in a pot still, working with our dogs by our sides, having fun and tasting batches, and I'm still wearing the same hat, even after all these years. Head over to titosvodka.com to learn more about what else we're doing the same. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. titosvodka.com.
My name's Casey. I'm a JEA wastewater treatment manager. My responsibility to the community is to assure their health and safety when it comes to the environment and also the health and safety of the St. John's River itself.
We treat the water we've all used so we can safely put it back into the environment. Thanks to you, our community's use of reclaimed water is up to 14 million gallons a day and growing.
Find out more about reclaimed water and other conservation tips at jea.com/onewater.
Postgame continues. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Before we get to the Jaguars Radio Shot Network Player of the Game voting, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor.
My favorite Twitter account right now, JP, and it has been all season, is Captain Andrew Luck.
So good.
Andrew Luck, we know when he grows the beard out, he kind of looks like something out of a Civil War daguerreotype, you know, just like a guy you see. You know, just marching in for battle, world weary. So the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter account tweets as if it's kind of a Civil War correspondence with his mother. All right, so
from this, the battlefield.
The latest one reads, "Dearest Mother, our unit once again fell to the Jackson Cats. Their prowess proved too great once more. Clawed and bitten, the men marched downtrodden. Frustrating, Andrew." It's like that. Everything that that account sends out. Captain Andrew Luck. Well worth it. C-A-P-T, wow. Andrew Luck.
I love it. That's fantastic. It's 30-10 Jaguars win. Jaguars Radio Network player of the game voting. I give a vote. Mike, you get a vote. Fred gets a vote and a half. Where are you going today, Fred? Go for it.
This is a piece of cake today. Blake Bortles. Got to give it to my quarterback. 119 rating, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. 309. He's a cold killer.
He is. At least the last 5 games against him, he has been, no doubt.
So for my quarterback.
Okay. All right. Michael?
Bortles, I'm going to make it easy on you, JP, because Bortles was certainly a strong candidate. I think Marquise Lee was a strong candidate as well. I could not overlook that stat line for Paul Posluszny today, who has taken a diminished role like a champ, right? I mean, he's a team guy, and he comes out there, knew he had an opportunity to play a lot more today. 14 tackles, 10 solos. Bunch of tackles for loss, including a sack and a half. I don't know what more Posluszny could do to earn player of the game honor. So I'm going to vote for Paul. So he's
going.
Currently a half vote behind Blake Bortles. JP, ball's in your court.
That's a lot of pressure. So there you have it. Let's go. It starts with the quarterback for me, Blake Bortles. For an offense that is struggling to get something going consistently, the run game wasn't great again today, to be quite honest with you, but he found a way today. 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 26 of 35 passing, 119.8 rating for Blake Bortles. So we'll call him the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. But yeah, Paul Posluszny. And remember, he's played limited snaps this year because of the setup on defense. Well, he comes out and took advantage of the injury for Telvin, I guess, today, and has 14 tackles and a sack and a half. He's fresh, I guess,
right? Guy can still play, man. Oh, obvious he can still play, Fred.
Right. I mean, he's a linebacker. Those guys, they're going to chalk up the good guys, the good ones, 14, 15-year careers, man. And, you know, he's savvy. He's a savvy vet. He's been doing it for forever. And it's just the timing of it. You know, if Blake didn't have the performance he had, you know, of course, he would definitely get player of the game vote from me. Great performance, man. My quarterback this week, you know, it starts with the QB, man. He's always the leader of the team, and he went out there and he got it done today.
I thought you were going to go Terrell Owens there for a second. It's my quarterback, man.
It looked like 51. Looked like Joe ran into 51.
Got to
get you better soon, man.
Joe Fortunato, our manager of radio, by the way, is here.
Pause was hitting everything.
It's step
that
one.
Move.
We're glad
in the booth.
We're glad he's here, no doubt. Hey, we'll come back. We'll get to the injury report. Speaking of it, the Jags win it 30-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
The kick is up. It's good!
It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse. You can score a medium Firehouse sub when you donate $5 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more on the Wednesday following the game, get a medium sub with a $5 donation to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Sub.
Relax. It's just a sleepover. Besides, we've got DirecTV, so we've totally got this.
Okay, kids, movie time!
Maybe not, with your satellite dish in this heavy storm.
Who is that?
Me? I'm the legal disclaimer.
Fine. We'll play musical chairs instead.
You have 2 chairs and a couch.
Don't let DirecTV rain on your parade. Xfinity delivers reliable TV service, rain or shine. Severe weather, heavy rain or snow may interfere with the satellite signal, causing the picture to freeze or pixelate.
Hi, this is Tony Baselli. It's no secret that I love the sandwiches at Daily's Dash. But there's one sandwich that stands above the rest of them and it keeps me coming back over and over again. It's called the Boss. They pile that bad boy with lots of roast beef, Munster cheese, roasted mushrooms, caramelized onions, and of course, some Dash sauce. Which, as much as I travel during football season, this sandwich is one more thing that makes me eager to get back to Jacksonville. I could eat the Boss every day. Daily's, a local Jacksonville company. It's nicer here.
The only way to top a Jaguars touchdown is with an extra point, right? Well, for six big fun points, score one touchdown of a vacation with a Carnival cruise from Jacksonville. Sail to the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Bermuda aboard the Way Fun Carnival Elation. Plus, the ship is now sporting four new bars and restaurants, including signature Guy Fieri burgers, a new water park, and for the first time ever, more balcony staterooms. Talk about the extra point, Jacksonville? No, that's a two-point conversion. Visit Carnival.com today to find your cruise and a great deal.
Get your game on with Konica Minolta. Let us reshape and revolutionize your workplace of the future with our innovative ideas and solutions. No matter what size your business is, we'll coach you to enhance your productivity and bottom line. Visit us at reshapework.com. Add Konica Minolta to your team for the most productive season ever.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 30-10, Jags over the Colts. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A few guys nicked up in this game today. Guys limping on and off the field. Brandon Linder was in the second drive, but then came back in not long after he came off the field. That's the good news. Cam Robinson with an ankle injury in the third quarter, but came back into the ball game as well. That was a scare there for a moment. Same for Leonard Fournette a couple of times. Limped off the field. Jalen Ramsey with a hamstring issue, but he was back on the field as well. Marquise Lee battled through stuff all day. Aaron Colvin, first drive of the game, had his shoulder looked at, but he returned. So at least from the outside looking in, everybody came back in the game. That's the good news that came out today. The other questions, though, are for guys that were not available. Certainly Telvin Smith, with a concussion, who did not play today, who was inactive. Josh Wells, backup tackle, was inactive today with a concussion as well. Jeremy Parnell, who had missed the last handful of games, played today at right tackle. And I don't know, what kind of difference did you see with Parnell in there? Did that make much of a difference today? And maybe not just the yardage, but the mentality of the group, maybe.
I didn't see much change.
No.
I did see that sack, though.
Okay.
Got to shore that up. But I didn't see a whole lot of change. It wasn't as much pressure, I guess, if anything. But in terms, the run game wasn't a big difference right there. If there were any change, it was Blake. I don't think Blake had as much pressure. He had a little bit more time to throw it from his blind side.
Did you think they moved him around a little bit more today, Fred? Maybe it was just me. It just seemed like a few more sprint out, roll out type deals. Or am I imagining that?
They did call some. Some more, maybe a few more. I didn't see a ton more.
Not a bunch.
But he wore, I mean, Blake did a great job. He did step up in the pocket. He just looked comfortable. You know, he got into a rhythm early, and then he was comfortable throughout the game.
When we return, we'll preview next week's game, the Jags and the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh,
big
yeah.
Game here at Everbank Field next week. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery offer over $139 million in prizes. Oh, they're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Like Great Aunt Mimi, everyone you know named Tom, your nosy neighbors, your boss, your boss's boss. And with 14.5 million winning tickets, your gift can keep on giving. To the new guy, Stephen, or is it Stefan? Maggie from work, Maggie from Pilates, Maggie with a Y, Mr. Jones, no, the other one. Oh, you get the point. Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery. Oh, it's your ticket. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
My name is Kelly.
Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hey Jags fans, this season it could be you that takes the field. Be there when the Jags hit Everbank Field on game day through the Everbank Take the Field sweepstakes. For each home game, one lucky fan will win two club tickets and pregame sideline access to be on the field as the Jags are introduced. To enter and for official rules, visit everbank.com/takethefield today. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 12/5/17. For official rules and complete details, visit everbank.com/takethefield. Sponsor Everbank, a division of TIAA FSB.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. GEICO waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the GEICO legal team would be cool with that, because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. Jags win it 30-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor next week. 4:25, the game has been flexed. 4:25, the kickoff time here at Everbank Field as the Seattle Seahawks come to town to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. Should be a fun scene. Seattle, of course, over the last decade or so has been in the hunt a lot and in the Super Bowl a lot. And it's a rare visit for them here to Jacksonville, and the Jags are 8-4. It's in the midst of a three-game homestand in December. Very important, very meaningful football game next Sunday right here. Looking forward to it.
Could be the only time you ever see Russell Wilson come here in his career, right? It's an eight-year cycle, right, when you play in the other conference in terms of home games, home visits. So, yeah, Fred, I mean, look, it's going to be a great test for them. They don't run the ball at all, but so that works to the Jags' strength if you got to throw the ball. But Russell Wilson's so good at extending plays that that's where he really kills a lot of teams. You know, when they break down, we'll see what the Jags can do. I think they're as well suited to slow that down as anybody because that secondary can cover all day.
Yeah, the defense has to be excited. They got to be excited to get out there and get after him because he is a playmaker with his feet and with his arms. I think they'll be up for the challenge even more because they know the task at hand. I believe Seahawks should win and come in here at 8-4 as well. Be a good matchup, definitely for a flexed late afternoon game. So, one to look forward to.
You think they're gonna beat the Eagles tonight, Seahawks?
Hey man,
Seattle. Okay,
let's watch and see.
Okay, that was kind of a bold prediction there, Fred.
Oh yeah,
Eagles on the road for a loss. Okay. It's a Seattle defense that obviously over the years has been one of the best in football, but a lot of their parts are hurt right now.
Right.
How different is the look on defense?
You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of them. I just know those big-name guys aren't there. Mm-hmm. And obviously those are big shoes to fill, considering those guys have been Super Bowl-caliber players over the years. It's not going to be an easy task. Still got the same D coordinator. Some of the guys up front are still there. Secondary is a little bit beat up. And we want our young offensive guys, our young skill players, to go out there and try to take full advantage of it when they can.
4:25, the kickoff. We're on the air at 1:30 locally in Jacksonville with the Public Tailgate Show. And then 3:30 on this network for Countdown to kickoff next Sunday. Fred, well done. We'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait.
I like that.
Can't wait.
Jag Seahawks next week. Our thanks to Jaguars Senior VP of Communications, Dan Edwards, Director of Broadcasting, Patrick Cavanaugh, Manager of Radio, back in business, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato are the producers. Ashlyn Sullivan directs the show for Jaguars.com. For Jeff Lagerman, Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Jaguars 30, Colts 10 on the Jaguars Radio Network.